What's up, Fool Podcast? What's up, Fool Podcast? Welcome to the What's Up, Fool Podcast. We're live right now, I think, on YouTube.com/ATC. And if you're listening to right now, this is the What's Up, Fool Podcast. It's not Festival of Sports. It's not Blue Monday Podcast. It's not the Dollar Podcast. Not the Punch Drunk Love Podcast. It's the What's Up, Fool Podcast. So if you're here to look for Sam Tripoli, he's right outside the office right there right now. On a Razor scooter with Eddie Pepitone filming some video. And go watch that, man. I think Pepitone, he wore a matching shirt for that scooter. So that's gonna look weird, man, to have a green nowadays. Green. If you put a green shirt on, and if you're real famous, it might be an ocean. If I put something on it,
it's a green screen, yeah. Basically.
That one to Sarah Huckabee happened to her, bro. She wore a green dress. You know, it's over. Man, I saw one and it made her look like a fucking pool table.
That's a good one.
And then another one with a jungle, bro. And I'm playing starving kids.
Okay, no.
What's up, fool? What's we got up? Johnny Rocket here wearing the original.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Save-A-Ho shirt, size small.
Man, I get compliments on this shirt.
I bet you do.
Bet you do.
A lot of fist bumps out from people.
Yeah.
We don't make that anymore.
Man, yeah. Right now, everybody's doing the old app, the Face app right now. Everybody's downloading it. 100 million downloads already.
Damn.
And everyone's doing it, bro. Some of them look good, like Bush Escobar. Shout out to him and his son. It looked like Bush Escobar and his dad. And then some of them look like weird, bro. Like, you can't even tell they put a Face app.
You know what?
I think Joey Coco deals with a good one.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like the wizard from Lord of the Rings, huh?
Brando. He looked like a fat ass Anthony Bourdain.
You know what I'm saying? His last days, little brother.
I did one, bro, and I was with a bunch of people at the show. The last show we did was in
Houston,
right? No.
Chicago.
Yeah.
We were at the big theater.
Last week.
And two shows. There were some people I took a photo with, and I made myself look younger than him.
Turned into a baby, dog.
Can you tell?
I was going, what filter are you using, dog? The Nivea filter.
Nobody else was younger.
No, just this fool.
Just me. Yeah, let that out, man.
I haven't tried it at all.
You haven't? We have Eric Ramos here, man, author and creator of his first book, Super Torta, a blue-collar guy out of Riverside, California, who's written a kid's book inspired by himself. He wrote this book in first grade or second grade. And let's talk about that, first of all.
Seventh grade, I think it said, right?
You're seventh grade?
Yeah.
Damn, bro, you drew that in seventh grade?
Yeah, I have the original book, which I couldn't find, but it's somewhere in my house.
When you were a kid, did you ever create a book, a comic book?
Yeah, I wrote like little things, drawings.
You never like made your own comic book?
I did like a flip book type of thing.
Yeah, you?
I did my own prayer book.
What?
Yeah,
the priest kept it. It was so good, dog. You think I'm messing around? I was a good ass Catholic, dog.
I think they published it without your consent.
But I could do this shit, like
everything. Jesus getting stabbed. Little hands, dude. Fucking him
Jesus
on the cross.
Jesus getting stabbed.
Crucified.
You know how they do it in Jerusalem, cocksucker. Hey, everything. Mother Teresa, dog.
Shanked.
Saint Thomas.
Yeah. I used to.
I was an artist.
I used to. On my books or whenever they had like a school book or whatever, my notebook. I used to always like get bored in class, bro. I used to draw like stick figures, bro. Porn. So when you put all the pages together, look like they're running or climbing or
yeah,
rocket
beach.
They're running the gangbang.
Like a flip book, right?
Yeah.
It took forever, bro.
It's bad though.
It's
dude.
Like stop motion animation.
Oh my god, it took forever. Cool, and when I was doing it as a kid, knew I'm not gonna be a cartoonist.
Takes time.
But then I know that it's a team of people doing it, bro. Not like one person. Going one by one, like what? Maybe Walt Disney did it that way. How the first one, the first Mickey.
Old school.
No, like usually though, yeah, he did it like that.
He started in the shed.
Yeah, but it's a team. But they're not all drawing every cell anymore. You just animate. You just draw a few images and then you animate them in a software.
Man, there was no library, right? Because I live in the projects, so there was Benjamin Franklin Library, but where you could go over there and get wrist. You risk getting jumped by Bridge Street gang or Breed Street or Third Street gang or Tiny Boys or fuck.
Get a little ass whipping on.
There's no damn.
So, like, there were routes, bro, to go to the library. So I used to go to the library, man, and I never went to the library until I was in seventh grade, but it used to be a bookmobile, bro. Now, fool show up with a little van, bro.
Riff?
Reading is fun. He would show up, and there'd be a van, and then you could check out books out of the van, bro.
Give me a hearty boy.
Yeah, man. If we were that van,
check out books out of the van. Oh, yeah, the bookmobile. Yeah,
the van had a couch.
But wait, yeah, this is like just a regular person?
No, the a part of the school district.
Oh, the school district.
They'll come twice a year.
Some dude. Yeah.
Call, oh, us came every other week. You know, return that book, bro. They were not for sale.
Oh, yeah. They sold them to us, though.
So we there was a book there, bro. I think I jacked it, but I'm not sure. Because what I did, I ripped the cover off. You know, we put the little slip and walked out. So whatever. I don't know if I stole it, but I
must acquired it.
Checked it out and I brought it back. But there was a series of books about movies, and they'll give you like a little bit of the movie in the book, and I had a Saturday Night Fever, bro. And then like the corner pages, you flip it, and it was John Travolta dancing.
Oh, I love those kind of books that have that in the corner. That was rare. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, man, I was like in second grade, dog. Ding, 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 ding.
All little.
So I was always drawing, bro. Yeah, so you were drawing as a little kid, bro?
That's how it started, actually. I think...
Why Super Torta, bro? Why not Super Taco or Super Menudo?
Because I've been a torta pozole lover since I was little, basically.
So, I think Rodrigo told him more like a torta lover, bro.
Everybody remembers me, like when I was in elementary school, the three tortas of the little bombo that's actually packing tortas for his field trip. That was me in middle school. I would do
you
that.
Got three tortas?
Yeah, at
damn,
some point.
How long was that field trip, dog?
I don't know, man.
You know, I
would have ate one on the way to school. I
always expect the worst. But yeah, that's literally why tortas, and everybody kind of remembers me because of that obsession for tortas. And the teacher, I remember, one kid forgot his lunch. They asked me if I could give him a torta. And I said,
can have a bite, dog.
I said, nah. I said no.
Yeah, man.
I only have
there's
three,
always a
man.
Poor kid, bro. Like, we didn't bring lunch, bro. I remember this kid, like, I looked at him and said, why are you even coming?
I was, I'm from a humble like, family. That costs money.
I was a little kid, bro. Like, you're looking at me eat my, that's the worst lunch ever. But you're looking at me, man, why you even come, bro? Why you stay? Why you just didn't even come to the field trip every night? So you were waiting for the bus, our lunch to show up, you know? Because we had our lunches that would come too, you know, like from the classroom. Like, whatever field trip we took in our school, our lunch followed. So there was like two lunch. There was so much money they were giving away again for the school district that there was actually lunch ladies that showed up and gave us our lunch. And then, but those kids, bro, they didn't have sandwiches. They didn't have a soda.
That was me. Yeah. That was always me.
Why you even come, man? Now, somebody told me that, eh?
Oh, really?
Bro, we would look at the other schools, bro, and it was like schools with budgets, like the white schools. Because somehow, like, everybody from every school district would be at the Al-Azhar, the museum, right?
Oh.
And then you start looking around, bro, and like, wow, who are them? The rich kids, somebody always say. And they have matching shirts with their name on it, just in case they get lost. Like, they're never gonna lose Judy, bro. She's wearing a red shirt just like Keith.
Shut down
and Kevin and Calvin and Jennifer. I'm right here, bro. We're the only one. Okay, don't lose your partner. We're holding hands.
Oh, yeah, you have to have the buddy system.
The buddy system, man. We forgot to take a shit.
I don't think I ever had that.
Huh?
I don't think I ever had a buddy system in my field trips.
No?
No.
What school did you go to?
Man.
In Norwalk.
Yeah.
So the outskirts of L.A.
My bag from Norwalk. Earlier you said Riverside.
No, he drove from Riverside.
He drove from Riverside.
But yeah. He grew up in Norwalk.
Yeah, good Norwalk or bad Norwalk?
Right by the one-ways, literally.
Norwalk.
Oh, okay. So is there a good part of Norwalk,
there's
bro?
There's a good part
yeah,
of Norwalk.
It's called Norwalk.
Yeah. I think so. Closer
Norwalk
to La Mirada.
Mostly, like, yeah. Suburban and rich. That's what I know Norwalk is.
No.
I know Gracie lives in Norwalk, and she has an RV in her front yard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's where Chepo lives, right?
Yeah. It was in the Gopher
Dig,
mine.
It's the green room.
We don't say bad words.
At least my neighborhood wasn't.
That's funny, man. Like, people get mad at when you mention them. You should be glad they're mentioning them.
Hell yeah. That's a shout out.
The worst is when nobody mentions you no more. Like, you come to the podcast, nobody's talking about you.
Forgotten. Damn,
you're forgotten, bro. You're in the mist.
In the abyss right
like
there.
Like Coco.
Gone forever. Disappear.
Like Coco.
Some people never get it.
I've never seen the movie, but I want to go in fresh.
No spoiler alert.
I just found out that song I was watching. I saw a video of a rabbit with fucking ears, and I didn't know that was part of the Coco song. Whoa, where do I put my head? I don't know. No, I don't know.
Put it on your head.
I thought that was...
I'm your amor.
Leo the Lop.
I don't know.
It was a little children's book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The song?
Yeah, it came with the song.
Maybe he was singing it. He sang it on Coco. Then, huh?
He sang a bunch of songs.
Somebody was saying it was from Coco, and we said, "Oh, we didn't know because we weren't.
We didn't.
We never saw it.
So it's Leo the Lop, huh?
So that's what it is.
Yeah, got Mother Goose over here with the fucking.
Well, he's younger than us.
Shazam over here.
He
had a decade older, dude.
Do you remember the Winnie the Pooh? Blustery day with the record that accompanied it.
I just know a little rabbit puffed all up.
Who, Piglet?
The little rabbit, man.
The little one, dude.
The little rabbit with a little suit, a little hat, a little business hat.
On Winnie the Pooh?
I like to sing her about the moves.
That's not Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
You know what's up. That's Terry Tools, eh? The big T.
But that's not Winnie the
Pooh,
though.
That's chapter 3, eh?
So, man, you self-produce your own book?
Yeah, exactly. I sat on this idea for like 6 years, 7 years. Honestly, I think it was one of those things where I kind of wasn't too confident in myself. I was just like, this is like too Mexican. nobody's going to be interested in this. This is like, yeah. But I think once the media kind of speaks for itself, kind of people, all these channels started popping up and all these people like and on Instagram. And I was like, you know what? This is nice. This is like the internet opened the floodgates to what people kind of wanted to see on TV and books, man. And stuff. So
you got like a good niche market.
Oh, thank you. And again, like I said, it's one of the things where I kind of was like, you know, I'm just going to do it this year. And that's exactly what I started.
That's funny you say that you thought it might be too Mexican because it's, I mean, I'm not Mexican at all, but being married to one, I know.
You forgot condiments.
No, I'm just saying that. Like,
where's the fat lady that made it?
No, I'm just saying that.
The book is not oily, bro.
No, he said he was working on it, and he thought this might be too Mexican. Right, but I think it's Mexican American and it's very American.
Yeah, it's very
but
American.
it fits it's not Mexican at all. It's a Mexican American thing. And that's a hard thing to teach Hollywood and to teach, you know, like the book industry or whatever, you know, the publishing industry, but it's hard to teach people that there's a whole it's different. It's in between. It's this in between culture, right?
Yeah,
it actually
all takes place here in LA.
Yeah,
and parts of those areas are actually I kind of infuse like real locations in downtown LA where I spent some of my time in college.
Yeah,
how'd you get Gabriel Iglesias permission for the legs?
I take pictures when you guys aren't looking.
Oh my goodness!
Super torta.
What's your favorite torta?
Faster than a speeding taco, more powerful than a chile relleno.
A cubana.
That's
a
cubana.
Cubana.
You're in medianoche, right?
Medianoche.
No.
No, my favorite torta. Yeah, I can't say no more. But no, I can't eat no more. But my favorite torta was the one from, Okay, help me out here.
Place in Silver Lake? Or
no, they're in Pecan Street, Pecan Park. Murillo's, bro.
Murillo's
Market, Murillo's Torta. Shout out to Raul right here. He's probably listening. Murillo's Torta, just a basic mayonnaise, slice of Monterey Jack cheese, ham and cheese. Man, just torta de jamón. Lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and a fucking jalapeno inside wrapped in a wax paper.
They always put the yellow. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You going to toast it or no?
No, hell no.
You don't toast it?
Well, they're not even a toaster. They're late fucking changing her baby right now.
She's on the grill real quick.
Bro, she had no toaster. They were already made, bro.
Fresh?
Fresh. They were just sitting there on the counter, bro. That mayonnaise.
That's whack.
Soaking. It's good, man.
An untoasted ham and cheese. And man, just get
it's a torta. It's a torta, man.
Yeah, the bread's already good enough.
Does it have beans on it, too?
Hell no. Just mayonnaise. Mayonnaise.
That's just
ham, cheese, tomato, onion.
Like a sandwich.
You could get mustard. You could get that at a white deli. Like,
no, we don't know any.
Jewish deli. Yeah. Jewish deli.
We don't know. Yeah, but this guy also sold you beer and fucking cigarettes.
That's what makes it a torta.
He goes, people will complain, man. What happened, bro? I went to Murillo last night. It was nasty, bro. What happened, bro? There were a torta and the lady had to make me one, and she was changing the baby on the side at the same time. Oh, bro. So she put extra shit in it, huh? She was not paying attention, huh? Yeah, man. It was just a torta with
a ham and cheese sandwich.
He would go to the guy up the street, La Favorita and Soto. And buy all his pinchy bolillos in the morning, bro.
Do you call them bolillos or birote?
I call them bolillos. Yeah. That's how I kind of...
Birote is a pompadour.
No, but other people call them birote.
Who calls them birote?
And they fight about it.
I don't know. I lie. We call them birotes. But I call it bolillos now because I go to the bakery, they
that's
say bolillos
on
it.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that we call stuff, is not the real name. Like conchas, that we conchas.
What?
What? They have other names?
Yeah. I had no idea.
Oh, well, pan dulce is the market category.
So if it didn't have the sugar,
let's not go to pan. Let's not go there no more. Pan dulce, because last time we talked about it, it's not really sweet.
It's not dulce at all. There's no sugar. Dulce.
You got to find out the.
It's
ones.
Like a layer. You got to scrape it off. Yeah.
But man, people better
bread.
Man, people better stop breaking that fucking. Bro, how do you feel about these idiots who are fucking? Who are the people that are a disgruntled podcast listener? You want more, Bill Burr? Anyway, so there was what do you think about these pan dulce, bro? The concha that are they're making them extra big, and they're using that to make a torta.
Oh,
fucking gross! Man.
I can't never. I don't support never. That.
That's the quickest way to a diabetic.
Bro,
show.
Yeah, that should be his enemy, bro.
Then you make them fight against each other.
That should be Super Torta's enemy. He goes, what happened? We're both bread. No, we're not.
Sit on them, eh?
You know, there's different types of tortas, too. Don't forget the semitas in East L.A. They're very popular over there.
What makes it a semita versus a torta?
Sesame
Is it just
seed.
The sesame seed bread?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bro, don't talk about hogadas, bro. You don't like hogadas, bro.
Some Guadalajara shit right there.
Yeah.
You don't like it all soaked, right? Like,
I ate it once in Guadalajara. No, it's muy sabroso. I was like, fuck, half of that shit.
How about the roast beef dip? Dog, tampoco, right? Roast beef dip?
It's all right.
The French dip?
You got to eat it fast.
What's the other one? Is that red sauce that it's soaked in?
Yeah,
the
pambazos.
Pambazos.
Where they grill them, too.
And it's sweet. It's a little sweet, though, right?
Yeah.
And it gets a little crunchy because of the sugar in that. Yeah.
What are you going to grill it for?
Pambazo came around in the late 90s in my neighborhood, because in my neighborhood we just had ceviche. We had burritos and tacos, and maybe somebody made a torta or a quesadilla. But then, like, more immigrants were coming, bro.
Yeah.
And then I went to Boyle Heights one time, right there. It was on Breed Street, across the street from Breed Street Elementary School, right before you get to Cesar Chavez. And there were, like, three trucks right there in the neighborhood. And one of them was Pambazo. The other one was Semilla, and the other one was something else I never heard of.
Yeah.
There's
all kinds of
It was like a...
different shapes and sizes.
Huaraches.
Oh.
See, I didn't even know what that was, dog.
Oh, that's a sandwich, too?
No,
I thought that was like sopes.
That's like a long sopes.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Everybody calls that different now. I was watching on IGTV, Instagram, and somebody put like huarache, but they put the masa, whatever, right? But she put beans in it first, black beans, and
then a pupusa.
Then laid it out flat,
yeah.
And then fried it, and then add the al pastor and then the other stuff on it.
That's how they make it over there.
That's off. Is that from Oaxaca?
They make it over there off of York. It's something, Huarache Azteca.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Huarache Azteca. Shout out to them. Sounds good.
Check it out.
Man.
So tell.
What made you fat, bro?
Everything, man. Not stop eating.
How many calories were you putting in when you were big?
I'd eat like 2,500 a day.
That's nothing, dog. That's normal.
Easy. Right? 2,500
No.
Well, what's normal?
Well, no.
Like, I don't want you 2,500.
Like per meal. 2,500 per meal.
If you want to maintain per meal, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
If
you want to maintain your weight, depending on your weight and height, now, depending on your height, if you want to maintain, you want to stay under like 2,000 calories
for
the day. But you know, a Big Mac meal is like 1,100 calories.
I don't mess with that no more.
Man,
a Taco Bell burrito, bean and cheese burrito, 300 calories each one.
I throw ketchup in my torta.
How about your super torta, bro? How many calories do you have?
It's got over like 5,000 easily. So don't consume it unless you're ready to, you know.
So you were a fat boy when you were a kid?
Yeah, the name Bombo.
Bombo.
Yeah,
that's Bombo.
Actually one of my mom's.
I mean,
that's your mom's nickname. That's his mom's nickname for him.
There's a song named Bombo, like Bombo, 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 Maraca.
Like, and is this supposed to be like your fat walking sound or something?
Ice Cube Mom and Luke.
There's a video somewhere of me, a
fucking
chubby kid.
That's crazy. Boys in the hood, you get fat, you eat and shit.
Oh, when he was a little kid,
Doughboy.
Doughboy, how'd it go?
You saw how the mom, the mom telling him, you fat, you eat.
No, he's all, you remember. Just like your daddy. You ain't obese shit. Or, fuck, how'd it go?
I can't remember. I saw it last night. I can't remember.
So, how many, are you on a book tour right now? Are you promoting your book? Where can people find Super Torta?
You guys can find it on supertortabook.com. I mean, it's right now it's all online. I'm working on some local bookshops here in the area right now to get it in there. So little by little,
yeah.
You know, I'm not expecting everybody to come and buy this book at once.
Buy all the book at once, man.
Are you doing any reads?
Support.
Any live reads to kids or anything?
Yeah, I'm really trying to get to some of the neighborhood, pretty much LA area.
Yeah.
Library.
I'm out there, San Gabriel Valley, San Gabriel. East LA.
Yeah, basically anywhere like where there's the raza, our gente. But the one thing, it's like a lot of people are, I even made a video on my website that explains what a torta is, mm-hmm. because, you know, a lot of people have been asking me, you know, Asian background, you know, white people have been asking me about what is, they kind of know what a torta is, but not exactly. So, you know, I made a whole video about it about how tortas come in, like people become in different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, because sometimes you Instagram torta and only the Spanish torta shows up and it's a cake.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's because of the Spanish people. Yeah,
Spaniards. Una torta española.
Una torta española.
Eggs. It's like a quiche.
Yeah.
Did you talk already? I just came back, but did you ask him already about how you went through the process of publishing yourself, or like how people can do this if they want, you know, have a book idea? Like, how did you do all this?
A lot of it, honestly, what I'm doing right now, a podcast. Podcast, YouTube videos. You got, I mean, it's kind of like get yourself started. It was one of those things where I'm working with like some publishers right now, sending copies just to get it officially published. But, you know, the fact that they're seeing that you're already on your own, you know, you're already running. They don't need to pick you up from the ground. I think that shows a lot of incentive for a lot of people, whatever it is that they're trying to get into. You know, I have more ideas for books. I want to keep writing. And I guess this is a good example for people who want to start whatever it is that they're trying to do. I mean, I was, you know, everybody started in their own way, and that's what I kind of want to inspire other kids to do, like use their imagination. Like, imagination is not just like, you know, oh wow, torta moving around. It's actually, you know, figuring things out in life, you know. And a lot of people come in like young, small neighborhoods, you know. Sometimes we're like very limited by that, and that to me is what I'm preaching in this. Like, that imagination can guide you through the corporate world, whether it is like just starting a small business or, you know, making your own product.
Yeah, man.
Seeing the bigger vision.
What's up, fool? Alex DeLarge. Alex DeLarge, by the way, shout out to him over there. He's fighting with Mega Man on the chat room. And never mind, keep trucha. I'm going to jack those beers. They have their own little world going on over there, though. The What's Up, Fool podcast chat fight over there. Anyway, so, we have a guy named Alex DeLarge, and sometimes he makes packages for underprivileged kids. He puts toothbrushes, coloring books. How much is your book?
Landed with free shipping right now. It's like around $15. But make sure you guys use Torta Launch 2019.
Where can they go buy it personally? Like if somebody wants to buy a bunch of them and put them in kids' bags for Christmas, because I know that's something that a lot of people do out here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I never even thought of that, to be honest with you.
Well, stocking stuffer.
Just email me, supertorta.book@gmail.com, and we can definitely work something out.
Oh, yeah. Where's the Instagram, bro?
My Instagram, supertorta.book. It's on Facebook, YouTube, little by little, getting up there.
Shout out to Eric Ramos, people. Look out for you. You were on my show.
I was at your show.
And the Spanish show, right?
The Spanish show.
In Comedy Store?
In Long Beach.
That was last
Tuesday?
Yeah.
How was the show, bro? Did you like it?
Oh, man.
Did you understand it?
It was funny. Yeah, exactly. I did understand it, and it was funny.
Once I got comfortable, I was funnier, man.
Yeah, there was the one people who kept kind of like trying to like, you know, fix your Spanish. I'm just like, dude,
chill out.
Yeah, like, a la verga,
wey. You're going to throw a firecracker at him next
Yeah, man. Alex DeLarge, he's a good guy in the community. He's always helping people out, man. And he always subscribes 100 people every week when he goes out to the Apple Store. What's up, fool? Thank you very much, man. I hope you guys go to work, huh?
Yeah. I'm still the blue collar guy. Yeah, blue collar author.
It's all good, bro. Charles Bukowski had a job. He never quit. You still have a job, right?
Nah, I no, you trim mustaches. Yeah, I do background work. I find shit to pick up on the road. You know, survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, fool. Thank you, bro. We got Jacob Vargas right here.
Thank you very much.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
What's up, bro?
What's up, fool?
What is happening? All right. Well, thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you, man.
Keep shining it up. So, ladies and gentlemen, check out Super
Torta.
Super Torta, people. Not to be mistaken by
you guys. Yeah, sorry. I should have brought more.
No worries.
You're a kid. Nice. Yeah, the baby in the way, bro. First book.
Awesome.
I've already been reading to that fool.
Cool. No, the one in the stomach?
Yeah.
You get to a stomach?
What?
Yeah, just read out loud.
Play some Mozart, dog. What's up, Jacob Vargas?
Beatbox on that stomach.
What's up, fool? What's up, fool?
Dog? How you been, huh?
Bro, you're killing me, bro.
What happened?
Bro, did you see Momo Garcia's show? He was wearing a purple coat, a hat.
No.
What?
Momo Garcia.
Momo. Rodriguez? Momo. Oh,
Rodriguez. Garcia, yeah.
Yeah, Momo Rodriguez.
Looking like Barney or what?
He was looking good. Tall. But he was wearing them old school shoes that nobody wears, bro. Remember the old school one? They have like tips. I don't know. They're black with a little black thing. Al Capone used to wear them. They're nice.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what kind of shoe. What kind of shoe was Momo Rodriguez wearing? The one that had the black tips?
Those were wing tips, but they kind of look like spats because they're
spats.
A
yeah,
wow. Changing the game, Doug.
Changing the game, Doug. I feel like Benny Mena, bro. What's up, bro? Benny Mena reading the book. Too much stuff right here.
Adding extra details.
What do I sound like, Norm McDonald, bro? Yeah, he wrote a kids book.
Like a torta superhero.
Yeah, torta superhero.
Okay.
He just did it all himself and self-published.
I thought it was like a fat Latina chick.
I remember what we were all saying, bro.
Don't make fun of my sister, dog.
No, bro, fat Latina X.
Right, dude.
Latina extra extra L. What's up, fool, bro?
What's up, brother?
I remember, I don't know if I emailed you one time out of the blue, and I asked you if you knew Don Simpson.
Don Simpson from...
Simpson and Bruckheimer.
Yeah,
you
okay.
You worked a movie with him, right?
I did, yeah.
Because I read the whole book. I don't know if you knew much about him.
That book is called...
Not really, bro, but I remember...
High Concept, right?
High Concept.
Right. Yeah, he and Jerry Bruckheimer had their company, did a bunch of these crazy...
Yeah, films Top Gun,
right.
Officer and a Gentleman.
Flash Dance.
They were the first one to put crazy-ass music... Like a soundtrack that's going to be like a number one hit
right.
with the movie.
They were also the first.
You have no right to ask me how yeah. I feel.
White Knight. They had the first like black white cop movies or buddy cop movies.
Yeah,
they did the Bad Boys.
Bad
too.
Boys was all them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I did Crimson Tide for them.
Crimson Tide, bro.
Crimson Tide.
Who's in Crimson Tide?
James Bond,
Tide.
Bro.
Crimson Tide was
Sean Connery.
Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman.
Yeah,
yeah bro. And James Gandolfini. I mean, it had Viggo Mortensen. I mean, it was great cast, man.
I saw that movie, bro. It was badass.
Yeah, it was like a submarine. Dude, I had like two lines or three lines, but I was on that thing for like 3 months. So and sometimes we like get dressed up. I was playing a sonar man. And we'd get, dressed up, and then all of a sudden, I wouldn't work. I'd just be chilling, like, in my trailer for, like, weeks.
Collecting those fat checks.
But that was when the checks were fat, back then, bro. When, when you can make a movie, it hits $100 million, and you're just
coasting
it for a while.
I remember, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I was hanging out with Gabriel Iglesias, and then, like, he told me that you got one of your checks from Crimson Tide.
Uh-huh.
And Gabriel told me how much it was. And you were like, whoa. Like, it just they keep coming. Well, they used to come.
They used to come. Bro, like I said, if you did a $100 million movie, bro, you're getting, like, $1,000 checks, like, all the time. But that was back in the day.
You got to stop fucking on Snapchat, bro.
Now, bro, my last residual check was, like, $2.
She got small.
Yeah, so it got small quick. Because that was back when the DVD... thing was big, and people were like renting
people
movies.
Were DVDs,
that was
yeah.
before the Fire Stick came out.
Yeah.
Oof.
Now you're looking to get a dime, bro.
Yeah. No, bro, I got a check for like, what, like 0 cents, bro.
Wow.
It costs more to print that shit.
It costs more to mail it.
Yeah. I know.
We got a few for like 3 cents, 15 cents, 8 cents. Yeah.
So why even mail it, man? Put it, you know, like at 7-Eleven, they got the little thing for the pennies. Just put it in there.
they should
have that.
Wow. 3-0-0.
Yeah, that's what
zero.
Henry Winkler was talking about with Happy Days checks, because he said, yeah, they were fat in the beginning. And then he said, then they were just like 50 cents here and there, because it becomes cheaper as they sell it multiple times. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't know how that process works, how they determine, you know, when your show was on or who saw it or how much. I had no idea. All I know is that you get these checks in the mail. And
that, that's not much.
But I would walk into the, honestly, I'd walk into the bank with like a stack, like literally like a stack like this full of checks, you know, and they'd add up to like 10 bucks.
Welcome to the show.
My wrist hurt from signing them.
Right. It told you gotta be a star.
Right.
I had to get a stamp.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, but if you owe child support, you get more, bro. No, no, if you pay the child support already, like I pay my child support, like I don't owe nothing, right? But you know, child support works slow, you know.
Uh-huh.
But like, so they still might take a check, might take money out of my check. I remember getting a stack of checks, bro, for a dollar, $7, $6.
They were 8 cents.
8 cents, man.
Things.
Like they're like,
sorry, we took it out of your check.
I told the counter, want my 5 cents.
Yeah. Right. And then they'll send it to you.
I like the way they fucking sent you the money right away as fast as they take it out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. But now we've got like direct deposit.
Yeah.
So that's, it's just a.
When you work cable, it's different, huh? You don't get that money like before, huh?
Where?
When you work cable? Or
when I work cable? Bro, Netflix is nice, bro.
No. So yeah. Sons of Anarchy.
But Sons of Anarchy was FX, yeah. Bro, it was okay. It was okay. But again, bro, I came in like season 6. You know what I mean?
So fucked
like,
up. Your ass is going to spin off two of that.
Yeah. So you don't have any history with the Mayans at this point? There's no crossover yet? I mean, with the Mayan show?
Nothing yet.
That time period?
Yeah, I think they're keeping the two mythologies separate. Honestly, I don't know. You know, it'd be great to come on and be on that show, bro, because I'm a fan of the show.
It would have been badass if Jacob's character was like one of those clubs that was overtaken by the Sons of Anarchy when they did the switchover.
Uh-huh.
You know, like sometimes that they would go in to grab a little ass club, you know, like in real life, a little ass club who has 10, but they have a rival gang, you know, they're rivaling against another gang. So they fucking team up with Sons of Anarchy and they become Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
So why don't you send them a script?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
You
should text Kurt Sutter, yeah.
That would happen.
Say, hey, bro, this is my idea.
Yeah.
But I feel like, bro, if anybody from the Sons would cross over, it would be Montez. Because, you know, bro, he's Mexican, bro.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I think, you know, he'd be a great person to cross over. But, you know, I don't know, bro. I'm doing other things. And so, but if they call, I'm ready, bro. I still got my vest in my closet, so. That's not a vest.
You want to wear it. Johnny wants to wear it.
I got my M2 license.
Right, bro. I charge 10 bucks an hour to wear the cut, bro.
Where are you originally from?
Bro, I was born in Michoacan.
Michoacan? No.
Yeah.
Orale, Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. The Michigan of Mexico. Yeah, bro, I was born in Michoacan, but then we moved to California when I was like a year and a half. The day keeps changing, bro. My parents say, no, you were one. I say, no, you were two. No, you were one and a half. So I don't really know for sure, but it was somewhere around there, bro. Somewhere before 2 years old. Well, we moved to like Sun Valley, and then we moved to Pacoima, and
Jacob, bro. He ain't out there, bro, claiming that I'm a son of an immigrant. Telling the whole world.
I am an immigrant.
Like, he just told us, but he's not exploding into the world, bro. Like some people like.
You're not exploiting it.
And shit. Yeah. We know. Now we know.
Yeah.
Chata, you're from Burbank,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, bro.
So Spanish is your first language then?
It was. Now, bro. Oh, yeah. I can't.
But as a kid,
I can't speak my way out of a paper bag in Spanish.
But as a kid, you learn.
It's terrible, bro. I lost it all.
As a kid, you had to fuck with both, huh?
I did. First? Well, bro, yeah.
You got thrown into it.
But when we were kids, man, our first language was Spanish. But then we started going to school. And it was just a messed up system where they would tell my parents, look, if you want your kids to succeed in this country, you got to speak English. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we said, all right, cool. Then we're not speaking Spanish anymore. and we just spoke English.
So it was a total immersion in school. No ESL. Completely. It was just because you guys didn't have ESL at that
point. Hell no.
When you went, there was no ESL.
Along with him.
No, bro. I remember being in kindergarten, bro, and one of my first memories was being in kindergarten and just playing with blocks in the back because I didn't understand what the hell was going on, what the teacher was saying.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's you know, so
my teacher was American, right, in kindergarten, and I remember just pretending I knew what she was saying, I guess.
Right.
Just but nodding. I was just like nodding.
Right.
But I don't remember much of a memory. I just know that when there was they had everybody stand up and go and do the ABCs, I stopped at T. I didn't know the rest, bro.
All right. That's pretty good.
So I had to go back and sit down there.
Okay.
Boom.
Right. Do you think that ESL is a crutch?
Hell yeah, I think it slows you down.
It slows you down.
You think so?
I don't know. I think if just for example, there's this basketball player. I don't know if he still plays. I don't know. He started play. He came from Mexico, played, and went to school in Ohio, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they tried to put him in Hispanic class. He goes, "No, I'm going to put me in American class. I want to learn English fast."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does work if you go to another country and you want to learn that language. Total immersion is the way to go, and you don't know anything for a long time. But it's hard on the kids.
But if you're older,
because my parents,
if you're 12, you got to get ESL.
Yeah.
But you're five, four, you don't need it.
For that long, if you've been speaking that language that long, it's you're going to fall way behind. I remember kids in our class that would come from Mexico, and I remember one kid had a mustache, bro, so he must have been like
19.
Yeah, bro, but he was like in our third grade class because they had to put him back because he just couldn't. You know, he couldn't speak English.
So they just moved him to his level grade-wise, even though he was,
Yeah.
And then they don't get hooked up or they don't understand. They drop out and then the rest of
it's weird how in my high school, I don't know how it's your high school. In my high school, all the ESL kids were also in ROTC.
ROTC?
And they would take bribes, bro.
All right, because
I was teaching them. I would call them. What's up with the federales over here, right? But yeah, man, a pinche sargentazo. But the ESL in our school with a bunch of Latino kids from Central America, El Salvador, and Mexico. But also there was like four Russian kids who didn't speak no fucking English at all. And they were, and that was their crew, man. Like Russian kids and those paisas.
Right, all the outsiders.
And the Russians are learning how to speak Spanish faster than English.
Uh-huh. Oh, because they're hanging out and just having casual conversation.
Yeah, bro. Immersion, I guess, makes sense. You know, because like my parents have been in this country for like 40-something years, and they still can't speak English. I guess because you surround yourself with people that speak Spanish, and you just never have to
get out that bubble.
Yeah, get out of that bubble and out of that comfort zone.
Just like the people who live in New York, bro, like the Dominicans, they could survive the whole life not ever learning English.
That's true, bro.
Romeo Santos,
right?
Man,
what's up? I thought you were. Where did you grow up at then?
I grew up in Pacoima.
Pacoima,
Richie.
Yeah, Richie, bro.
To George Lopez.
Yeah, George Lopez.
Puro Pacas.
Cheech Marin. Well, I guess Cheech was like more like Granada Hills, but it's all the same, bro. Danny Trejo.
Where were you in the 90s? Like 91? You were like a junior high school?
90s, bro. I already graduated high school.
Wow. I was in rehab, bro.
Okay.
I was in rehab, bro, in a valley. In a fucking valley.
Were you
right there by
living like in a halfway house?
Hampstead Dam.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But that's not that far from Pacoima, bro.
There used to be a Live Again Recovery Home. Shout out to Pastor Jesse Higuera. And we were out there, bro. But then we moved to Sun Valley. No, not Sun Valley. We moved to Sun Valley. We moved to fucking Saugus.
Saugus, okay.
We were more people. And we used to see a lot of food for Pacoima come in there, bro. Pinche tecatos, bro.
Yeah.
A lot of heroin in the neighborhood, bro. How did you escape all that shit? That's we got to know, man. There's Pacoima gang cholos, but there's also Pacoima Crips.
No, bro, and blood too.
Yeah,
bro.
Man, like they were crazy, bro. These people had froze, bro. They were in my rehab, and they were like, "Wait a minute, man, you're from Pacoima." Yeah. Crip, yeah, cuz. And they go, "You're from Pacoima?" And they were, I don't know if you know this family in Pacoima, but we used to get a lot of them come in. Yeah. There was this dude that came in, bro. He had a big ass Pacoima Pacas right here. And then his last name in the front, Serna.
Uh-huh.
And we got along because that was my mom's maiden name.
Okay. No, I didn't know those dudes. But no, bro, like I said, I grew up with around a bunch of Bloods, actually, around Vaughn Street. And so I remember being a kid, dude. So our friends used to sell crack. you know, back in the day. So we'd go over and just kind of hang out with them. And while they're like, oh, hang on, bro, we'd be like, you know, hanging out. They go, hang on, I'll be back in 2 minutes. They go, a car will pull up, bro. They sell some crack.
That's old school.
Come back,
huh?
Old school, bro. And then they'd be like, yeah, let's
go. No houses, just running up to the car.
Yeah, up to the car, bro. And I remember getting shot at, bro, you know. But it didn't seem out of the ordinary. It just seemed like that's
normal,
just,
huh?
That's just normal, bro. That's just life.
I felt
the way it was.
That's how I felt, man. Like when I was living in the projects, like to the outside world, I was like, what the fuck, funny crack? But to us, it was like an everyday job. Like,
yeah.
I would get up in the morning, brush my teeth, pick up my five rocks, try to sell them.
Crack, bro. There you go, bro.
But I was not like, I was like a 9 to 5. I was still, yeah. But then after a while, when there was more people selling crack, that's when I had to stay up a little late at night.
Had to find a new shift. Huh?
New shift, yeah. Bro. It was 4 in the morning, bro. Selling.
Supply and demand, bro. You had to.
Selling small pieces, yeah, bro. Yeah. You want big pieces, but you got to see Jacob at 9 in the morning.
Yeah. No, bro, but I never got involved with that, bro. Like, Luckily, I got into breakdancing.
It was everywhere, you know, though.
Yeah, huh? It was everywhere, bro. It was
you
everywhere.
Got into breakdancing?
Yeah, I got into breakdancing.
Cool.
So I think, bro,
with scarves on the legs?
With the leg, yeah, with the
leg warmers.
With the bandanas. The leg warmers, bro. I didn't go that far, bro. But,
I know.
Yeah. We wore some bandanas around our ankles.
You were good?
Yeah, I was good, bro. Yeah, that's why I got into acting.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your crew name?
Street Motion.
Street Motion, man.
Yeah, bro. We were like local celebrities because we did a. Remember back in the day, bro, the Telemundo or Univision did a telethon every Christmas called Navidad en el Barrio.
That,
you remember
shit,
that, bro?
Yeah. The cops gave away toys.
Yeah, exactly, bro. That's what it was. And so we went and we did a, you know, breakdancing bit. And you know, everybody saw that, bro. Everybody was watching it. So we became like local celebrities, man. And
en su cartón.
I'll say, like, hey, you see that dude from Navidad en el Barrio? You know, and
tight,
you know, yeah, bro. So everywhere
tight.
We go, like people say, "Hey, breakdance, dance, you do this and that." And so, this, you know, I got discovered breakdancing by a manager, and she became my you know,
cool.
My manager, bro.
She
became
a manager, like when you started wanting to act,
yeah.
Too, and that's
yeah,
how
yeah.
You
my first
into it?
My first gig ever was as a breakdancer on an episode of Different Strokes.
Oh wow!
What?
Yeah.
Right there by the gooch, huh?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
this is old. This is like, you know. Like, oh, in you know, I guess like Todd Bridges was already off the show.
Yeah.
You know, Dana Plato was off the show. It was like he
had Sam.
He had that little brother Sam. He had a little country singer.
Hey, Mr.
Yeah.
You gotta take him, man.
Yeah, it's funny because he was singing every episode. He'd always have some kind of dance. So like in our episode, he sang a song about like off the shoulder blouses. You know, because like they outlawed breakdancing and off the shoulder blouses in the school. And so we were like,
that's weird.
Like picketing. Yeah, it is weird, right, bro? I love off the shoulder blouses.
Yeah. I remember
this should never happen.
Just,
this should never happen, bro.
I remember kids were breakdancing in my junior high school, and then like a big crowd would come in, and the principal, the school police, would break it all up.
Right.
And then so we had to, they stopped that, and then like we had to, instead, like they gave us a chance to put up a show and do this.
Okay.
And it was different. Like it's different watching it from the sitting down, man. You got to be in a circle.
Yeah, you got to be in a circle. But nobody likes, you know, being like watching a show.
No, man.
I remember I did a show in junior high, a play, and you know during like, remember nutrition when they had nutrition?
Yeah.
And so, so everybody would get like free fruit and milk and whatever. So we're doing our scene, bro.
Hard ass grilled cheese.
Yeah, but all of a sudden I see apples flying at me, bro. I see oranges. Okay,
first time.
Cars of chocolate milk, bro. Like they weren't having it. It was not. We're trying to do like, you know, we're trying to give them some culture, bro. And then they
no
didn't.
Star here.
Nah.
You just came.
Aren't you entertained?
Are you entertained? Obviously not.
I went to our Serena Junior High School. There was a bunch of breakdancers, bro. They were dressed like something. Some people were dressed like kung fu.
Bro, oh, yeah. Oh, bro, I had a kung fu suit.
Bro, let these motherfuckers know how big it was to dress
it's
up
huge,
like Bruce Lee,
bro. Hell
bro.
Yeah. But with little Chinese shoes, you know, you wore those the little shoes but with zero support. But yeah. It was flat as hell.
Bro,
your feet are hurting.
I had
nunchucks. I had ninja stars. We used to watch that Kung Fu Theater.
Oh.
Channel
5.
Saturday? That's Channel 5?
That was Channel 9, bro. On Saturdays. Channel 5 would have Kung Fu Week, bro. Show them the wackiest. It's funny, man. When, as a kid, you watch these Kung Fu movies, and the next day, you try to do those moves, nothing but rip pants all over the school. You too, bro.
Right. Yeah, dude. What was your favorite Kung Fu movie back in the day?
Oh, man. It was, well, Enter the Dragon, of course, but then there was a lot of them that we saw on TV.
Right.
Fool, my favorite one, bro, was fucking Master of the
Flying Guillotine, bro. Come on. That was, bro. Bro, we used to get an Oya. We used to get an Oya, bro, on a chain and then throw it.
I should have fucking gone. I took a big one out of a basketball and a curtain and it didn't work. So I would put like a lampshade on front of my brother's head and then just yank him, bro.
Because I had the one-armed guy.
I'm looking for the one-armed bandit.
Yeah, the one-armed bandit, bro. He's taking me back, bro. Man. Yeah,
that was like that movie, The Master of the Flying Guillotine. The first fight of that movie is like pretty much the basis of every other fight movie you're gonna see in the future. Mortal Kombat, because there was an Indian fool who had arms that grew. Remember?
Oh right, yeah, bro. They all had like their weird like magical. Like fighting power.
And then there was a fool that was a monkey, bro, and he was like the darkest character in the movie.
Yeah, he fought the monkey style, yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then
I gotta rewatch that, man.
And then there was he got beat by the Asian girl that was a tiger.
Okay. Right, and then there was a grasshopper.
The grasshopper.
The locust one, yeah, yeah.
Then there was a badass dude that he was like a Thai fighter, a Thai boxer. Uh-huh. He was going, shh, shh, shh.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I'm looking for the one-armed boxer. That's Fu Manchu. There's a part of the movie where the fool's eating a bunch of food, but he's hiding his arm, saying that he's a one-armed boxer. Then the fucking old man kills him right there in front of the restaurant. Just snatches, like, man, what a badass movie.
Yeah, bro. And then after that, you go in the backyard and you start trying to practice all the moves. And
yeah,
bro. I got one of my teeth chipped because my friend did a back kick and kicked me in the face.
I remember laying in bed in a bunk bed. And then telling my brother, Adrian, on top, man, I want to join Kung Fu classes. And then I start punching his bed. Lifting his ass like a trainee. Those are my leg exercises, right. Bro. My brother, Adrian, will be in the top bunk, and I'll be in the bottom bunk, and I'll be lifting him with my legs. The fool get all mad.
Bro, how many brothers you got?
Six brothers, one sister. Right.
So you guys all share one room? Yeah, bro, no. Same with me, bro.
Four bedrooms.
We're
in the projects.
Five of us. And one sister, bro. We all shared one room.
There's five and one with you.
Yeah.
You're six.
Five and one. Yeah. So there were five boys and one. And my sister had her own room. No, actually, no. My sister slept with my parents. And then we had all five of us boys shared one bedroom. And then we had one room full of, like, máquinas de coser. You know, like sewing machines. Because we used to make women's clothing back in the day.
Oh, my really? Your mom had her own little sweatshop.
Yeah, man.
Damn, you guys helped.
I used to sew women's clothing when I was in third grade.
We had no AC.
So you know how to sew, right? Huh?
My mom never taught her how to sew, but she had a sewing machine, the old school one.
With the long ass pedal.
Yeah, heavy. I don't know how the fuck they brought that shit in there.
So that was your business. That was the office. That was the business.
Yeah, the business. Yeah,
five boys in a room.
And we used to make women's clothing, and we'd go selling it at swap meets.
Yeah.
And
you guys sold
the San Francisco swap meet.
His mom made pillows and forced them to sell them in a parking lot.
We would go to the trash. We live by the warehouses in the LA, right? Downtown LA. Yeah. So we would go. My mom knew where they had
the toy factory.
Toy factory, right? Which is all lofts now. But my mom knew where they had, because she used to work at this Friedman bag company, and she just separated bags for these people.
Okay.
Like, it's a different type of costales and shit all day long. So she knew where they threw away synthetic cotton.
Stuffing for
Build-A-Bear, all that shit.
Right, okay.
She knew where they threw away pillowcases that were like, they were
fabric.
They were like, the dye was bad. Threw it away. So my mom would grab all that shit, take it home, and then grab the cotton and stuff it with fucking cotton. Then she'll sew pillows and... My brother and I were the salesman, bro.
Right, okay. Right.
We would go door to door selling those pillows, bro.
Really? Okay. How did that go?
Good, man.
Yeah.
But then one time, hating life, because everybody knew us.
Yeah.
Because it sucks when you go door to door and your friend asks, listen, man, my mom don't want no pillows.
Right.
Listen, man. I'm not here to talk to you, dumbass. Right. Call your mom. They don't have to fuck him up with a pillow right there to show how it works.
Right, right.
Or sometimes I'll put the pillow in his head and punch him, bro.
But now, were these pillows
soft?
to sleep or pillows like
to
for
sleep,
you,
bro?
For your sofa.
I don't need a pillowcase. All you need is a pillowcase and you're on, bro.
That's funny, bro.
How many can I sign you up?
But it's embarrassing, like when your friend asks, listen, man, how many times are you going to tell you we don't want pillows?
Right. Yeah. Bro, but now, like, those natural pillows are the big deal right now.
Yeah.
Or, like, the full of buckwheat or whatever. You know what I mean?
What was the first movie you were in?
was going to ask that.
First movie I was in was, I did a movie called The Last Resort.
I saw that with
Charles Grodin, and it was one of those like really B movies.
I thought it was The Last Resort with John Candy.
No, this is Charles Grodin, and we shot like on Catalina Island. It's supposed to be some kind of like paradise gone wrong, and it gets overtaken by like by this militia. Oh, and then like John Lovitz was in it. I mean, it had like
a few of those resort movies where things go wrong. The one you're talking about is Club Paradise.
Captain Rod.
Club Paradise.
Yeah, you're thinking about
Captain Rod.
there were a few
in the 80s, right?
Like, yeah, and there were only like two kids in the whole movie. There were two of us, but it was like, bro, it was like. People all lived like on this camp because it was shot at a summer camp for kids on Catalina Island, and so like there was no place to house the cast and crew, so everybody stayed in like in these little cabins, and it was just like everybody's like having sex with each other and having crazy parties, and you know, like you walk around, you see like, you know, condoms and
jizz
the beach.
Off the old.
it was total debauchery, man.
Debauchery, man.
I know.
Yeah. You've been into that. That was your life for many years.
Yeah. I'm going to name my son. What's your name? Debauchery. Call him Debauch. Call him Chachi, see?
El Debauch.
When I was in El Sereno, there was a breaking crew called Meridian Poppers.
Meridian Poppers. Okay.
And there was another black dude who was badass. They were BC Rich.
Okay.
And there was another dude. And then there was, I don't know, you know, remember Southgate, the handyman?
Southgate, the guy, he was in
Crutches.
He was in the Breaking Movie.
Yeah, he was Crutches.
Crutches, yeah, and he'd do like the windmills on Crutches. Yeah, he was in the Breaking Movies.
He was in here with the Crutches?
Yeah.
Because we met, we met that guy at the party.
I can't remember his name.
Not Bigaloo, but the other one.
Michael Chamber?
Michael Chambers!
Shabadoo.
Boogaloo Shrimp.
Boogaloo Shrimp.
That's who he is.
Funny, bro, he just hit me up, man. He's coming out with like a documentary on his life, and... And he's got like a doll too. He's got like a Boogaloo Shrimp breaking doll, and you know we're going to talk about maybe how we can collaborate and you know maybe you know do something together. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Plus, he's like cardboard again.
Dude. he's like a huge inspiration.
You were Mi Familia.
I was Mi Familia. Yeah.
You were J Lo's husband.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it was. We were all like young.
Good at role, bro.
I was like, that was a great role, bro.
Yeah, great at role for you.
Yeah, bro. Well, I
saw my dad, bro, when I saw you right there.
I originally auditioned for the role of the young Edward James Olmos.
Only I play Olmos.
Yeah, which, but I guess, you know, Greg was like, look.
You have smooth face, bro.
It's a great role. Of the father for the beginning. Thank you, bro. It's the Aztec.
Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah, everybody's saying he still looks 21 on the chat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, everybody's saying you look 21.
Oh, wow.
Like,
this being broadcast live? Is
live, bro.
Right now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
And then it'll go back up on Friday.
I would have told people to watch.
That's all right.
All right.
People are asking all kinds of silly-ass questions.
What are they saying? Road dogs?
They're quoting a lot of his lines, though.
When is the next debauchery party?
The next debauchery party. Damn, bro, I'm married with kids now, bro. Bro, I'd rather spend 2 hours at Home Depot than 2 hours at a club. You know?
And then the food said, "Where's suavecito from mi vida loca?"
Oh man,
you were mi vida loca.
I was mi vida loca. Yeah. The suavecito truck.
You're in American Me
mini
too,
truck.
Man.
American Me. Yeah, I played Eddie's little brother. In that.
Little Joker?
Road Dog?
Well, Joker was from Next Friday.
Oh, that's right. I don't like closed doors around here.
Yeah, no more
closed
doors.
She was funny. Money, pussy, right. Money. You improved a lot of that shit, huh?
Yeah, man.
I could tell, bro. Like,
if I show
no
you.
Wires, I show you made funny, that shit up. There ain't no way Ice Cube could write that shit.
Yeah, no, bro. One day I'm gonna post the original script, and because like there was. You know, none of that was written, man. And he wasn't written funny. He was written like just like
basic
a very,
movie,
very basic, and, scary, yeah. you know, neighbor dude. But I thought, dude, because I love the first Friday.
Hilarious.
I remember how funny it was. But I was like, dude, this guy should just like let loose and just be crazy, man, and just you know, and just have like zero like filter and you know. And so like, luckily, bro, I went in for the audition and I just went crazy. Bro, I went in the room and started ad libbing shit. And then the director Steve Carl was like, dude, you were like one of the only dudes that came in and made him funny.
Yeah.
And so when we were on set, he's like, dude, just go with it, man. Just any ideas you have. Go with it. So I was like, hey, man, how about I wear a thong? And then and I have some boxing. And you know, and it was just crazy. And he was just like, yeah, go for it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Like, the worst that can happen is we will cut it. You know, whatever. But, you know, but
doesn't make
bro, but that was, I think that was great. But to allow somebody just the freedom, bro, to be free and to be creative. And I think that's when you get, like, magic.
Hell yeah, bro. You stole that away, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, it was they
can't be a part three without having you in it, bro. It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, no, bro. I mean, I talked to Ice Cube, bro. So, I mean, he definitely said, you know, Joker's coming back for the.
We gotta talk to Tattoo, cool. Bro. Where's Tattoo 1 at?
Yeah, Tattoo's. Is he having anything to do with the writing?
Tattoo was him on that 3-on-3 game.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Anyway, so, damn, man, that was a good role. And somebody said, I remember him from Ernest Goes to Camp.
Oh, bro, yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
That was one of my favorite movies, too, bro. Yeah, man.
And then
I played Butch Too Cool.
Grab a ladder.
Everybody's talking about Jarhead,
when,
too.
When I was a kid, I used to see another movie. There was another actor. I don't know if he's still acting anymore, but he was in 3 O'Clock High.
3 O'Clock
High. Casey Simasco?
Yeah, him.
Okay, Casey Simasco, yeah.
Then I saw you, and I thought that was you growing. Later on, I didn't see him.
You said, I was Casey Simasco?
I thought he was you, bro.
Jason Simasco is like Irish, bro.
I know.
Polish, I think.
Is that Mexican?
No.
Polish-Irish.
The guy in Eight Men Out.
He's like Polish-Irish.
The guy in Eight Men Out.
No, he's Mexican. He's the one that gives...
Which guy?
He's the one that gives Cheech... He's the one that gives Paul Rodriguez the lottery tickets in Born in Soleil. And he plays Edward James' almost young role in American Me.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, no. That's Panchito Gomez.
Panchito Gomez. When I saw American Me.
From Casey Shemaisco.
Yeah, Panchito Gomez. When I saw you together in American Me, I was like, oh, no.
Okay.
Two different guys. They're not brothers.
Because he was also in Mi Vida Loca, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. That dude's good.
He's a good actor, bro.
He was also. Yeah, man. He's always a bully in a lot of movies. Like, he was in 3 O'Clock High.
I remember him in 3 O'Clock High. Who was he in
The Bully?
No, he wasn't The Bully.
Not 3 O'Clock High. There's a movie where the guy singing Red Velvet or...
Blue Velvet.
Or maybe it was called Bullies. I don't know.
Man.
Is he in politics now or what?
Yeah, that's... I don't know, bro. I saw him years ago in New York. And we hung out. We partied in New York for a bit. But that's the last time I saw him.
3 O'Clock High. I don't know what movie it was, but he was in it.
Okay, well.
Because at the end of the movie, they were going to be...
Instant interaction here. You can...
They're 3:15.
Oh, 3:15.
That's a different show. I rewind 3:15, The Moment of Truth.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, that wasn't me.
Tough turf.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough turf.
That's what you're talking about. You're talking about James Spader.
Yes.
Okay, that's tough turf. When he comes to a new neighborhood and it's Latino and he's a white kid, right, coming into the neighborhood.
No, but he's not the main bully. The main bully is a white dude.
All right.
And tough turf.
But, right. I did work with Casey Shemaisco, though. Yeah. I did a
James Spader
movie of the week called Boys Town, about the Boys Town in Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was one of my first projects as well.
Is Mr. Iglesias? So you're in Mr. Iglesias now,
yes,
on Netflix. And is that your first comedy? Is that your first like series, like sitcom? Have you ever done anything like that before?
A lot of pilots.
I did a sitcom in 2001, 2002 called Greetings from Tucson.
Oh, that was Peter Murrieta. That was Peter too. Okay.
Were you playing the son?
I played the uncle.
The uncle, okay.
Yeah. So and that was fun, man. We shot, you know, 22 episodes. We did a full season. And then, you know, we didn't get picked up for the second season, but
where did it air at?
It was fun. Dude. It was on WB, which is now the CW.
Okay.
Back in the day. But you know, but we were right after like the Reba McEntire show, man. So, and you know,
my daughter loved that
total,
show.
But to the total different audience,
yeah, completely different
for us, man. Yeah. So, and then they're saying, "Oh, you're not holding on to her,
to her audience."
We're like, well, yeah,
okay.
Total. Let me get rid of my show. Top lip real quick.
Right. So, but that was my first sitcom. Actually, this is only my second time doing. But I love it, but sitcoms are great, man.
Was it hard to shoot Mr. Iglesias? Did you have to work? Is it different from shooting for like a network or Netflix? Did you have to like, because I know like, I don't know what, I did a show, what, I'm not going to compare it to other show, but did you have to bum rush all the shows all at once?
Yeah.
Or did you just take your time?
I mean, we had a shoot, we had a schedule, so we had to do you know, one a week, but then we got like breaks in between, so it wasn't you know, too crazy.
So it wasn't like when you do
one show a week.
Yeah, like
yeah. So
20,
we did yeah. So it was like yeah, so a show a week, and then we get like a 2 week break, and then we do another another three. I forgot what the schedule was, but it was you know, it was
a lot of people.
It was a lot of work, bro. But it was
a lot of
it was great,
love it.
Bro. Yeah, man. But also, bro, what I loved about the sitcom was you get that immediate reaction from the audience, man. And that's, you know, and that's one thing I got to give it up to Gabe, man. He said, look, I don't want to do a single cam. He's so good in front of that audience, man. He knows how to engage.
It was a real live audience.
Yeah, it's a real live audience. Yeah, bro, I know, like, I hear a lot of people commenting, like, about a laugh track. Like, what is this? Bro, we don't have a laugh track. This is, like, a real audience sitting in the studio laughing to the jokes. And Gabe would be engaging with them in between shows. So they were just energized, but they were, you know, so they were just laughing and having a great time. So that's what you hear when you hear the laughter on the show.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it's like actual people.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. And people just, it's funny, bro. People were already laughing before the punchline, you know? I mean, so that's how much people were enjoying the show.
And he had a lot of his fans there too, as the audience, right?
Yeah,
like they.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, he's got
a lot
such,
of LA.
He's got such a loyal following, and you know, his fans, man, his fans are great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is this? Have you don't get cast much for comedy? Do you go out a lot for comedy roles, or do people think of you for that? Or
I just think it kind of goes in.
Because you're good at it.
I think people remember you. You know, by your last project. Yeah. So if you do, because, you know, I did Next Friday. I did Greet Some Tucson. Yeah. But then after, you know, I did Traffic.
Yeah.
And it was dramatic. Yeah. And it won all these awards. And we won, like, a Screen Actors Guild Award. And so people started, you know,
like casting,
you know,
directors
me as,
start to think of
right,
you
as dramatic. Because mm-hmm. it's funny. Because even when I was up for the role in Mr. Iglesias, you know, we still had to kind of prove to them that I can be funny. You know, so I had to do like chemistry test with Gabriel. You know, so the
screen test.
So you have to hang around with Alfred Robles and call him Hefe all day.
No,
see his hand tattoo.
He goes, hey, I don't want to do the cheeseburger.
Nah, bro.
I'm cool.
Nah, bro. It was just me and Gabe, bro. It was just me and Gabe in the room with everybody else, bro, and.
What
you
do
know?
You do during a screen test? Because they're looking at your chemistry and see how you guys look. I know.
You've never been.
Well, you get cast as like a semi-regular, and then you ease your way in that way.
Yeah.
But you don't. But you
get a lot of opportunities, bro. Like, cause I always heard that you were doing a show and that you had a pilot. And
yeah, we had a pilot
going.
With Peter Morrieta, me okay. and Dustin Ibarra.
And we pitched one last year too, and that almost.
So what happened with the pilot?
Well, they said no.
It didn't go. It didn't go to shoot.
It
went to script, but no shooting on that one. And then this last one, same thing that we pitched.
Yeah,
last
but right now we're still working with Vin Diesel's production company.
Yeah, we're with One.
Okay,
race. Right. They still want to work with us.
I haven't put you in Fast and Furious 9, bro.
I know, right? I was thinking about that last night. Nah. I know. Can I come out under the car on a skateboard? Hey!
How about if I'm not that fast?
You got that connect, bro. You got that in.
You'll be a mechanic,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, be the guy.
I don't even understand. I'll be under the car.
Nah, yeah.
Gone in 90 seconds.
You got a blown radiator.
I could be the guy that just goes back under the car.
I know, man.
I could ride myself in, bro.
On Superstore a few times because they like him, like that guy likes him. But also, the whole audition process, like when you get the part, you know, that you get the booking, and then they say we're going to do a screen test. Like if you're going to be a regular, a series regular,
right?
So then, how does the screen test go? Do they give you sides to do with them? Do they just want to talk, or how does that work?
Yeah,
and they film you during this, right?
Yeah, so they give you the sides, they give you the scene to play, and then. But then, you know, then we just started, you know, improvising,
yeah.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to see how if he throws something at you, how quick you can respond, or are you going to get stuck? Because you know, because Gabe liked to improv a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he liked to kind of change it up, especially one on tape days,
on live shows.
But that's the best because the audience, you know, isn't really, you know, they hear it once and they hear the joke, they get it. By the time you do it three, four times, bro, it gets old. So he always liked to go, hey, bro, let's change it up, man. Let's change this line, that line, bro. And they kept the audience, you know, constantly guessing.
That must be tough then, man.
It was great, bro. It was fun, man. I had a blast, bro. But he's so good at it, bro. You know, like you guys are comedians, bro. You guys know how to come up with stuff on the fly, you know, to make it fun.
I don't know about Rodrigo, bro. Could you?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got like that actor innate quality where it just comes out. Like watching you on the show, you're very like you take away a lot of the.
I thought you only saw one episode.
If you got all that from one episode,
one episode,
I'm doing my job, man.
There
you go.
Hey, I'm doing research here.
Yeah. I think he ended up streaming the whole thing.
He wrote season two already.
Watch them backwards.
I know. Like Eric Rivera wanted to be here, bro. He already wrote himself in for next season.
Right. He's doing that on social.
He goes, I could be the good-looking teacher, bro. There's already have one, bro. It's Jacob.
Yeah, your character's like a horn dog or something, right? Like, what's
damn,
right? He is, though.
He's just a very confident,
very confident
guy.
He's a big ruler, right?
It's like he's been a player, but he doesn't know how to be a player
He doesn't understand that in this environment, you know, you can't do certain things, you know. You know,
and the girls,
yeah. That they got no game anymore, man. Right. The game has changed.
The game has changed.
And he just hasn't changed.
Yeah,
with it.
You don't know how to approach it.
Mr. Cordato, man. Like all that, my secret teacher, all his cologne that he wore were the one that kids gave him. So imagine going on a date and what are you wearing? Who gave you this? Oh, some kid named Felipe Farza. He gave me this English leather.
It's like
English
your gifts.
I gave him karate.
Dracar Noir.
Hey, he wished it was Dracar Noir.
Oh, he wished the car Noir wasn't.
No, bro. It was
Brute.
There you go, Brute.
Skin bracer.
Yeah. Wow, that's old school. That was a blue
Blue or green, my dad.
Right. Blue, damn, brillantina.
Then you have Aqua Velva.
Old Spice.
Jabra, wasn't there with a Jabra or something?
I think even that's a little fancy.
Oh, really? Karate.
Jabra's fancy?
You had cigar.
Cigar.
Damn.
Cigar smelled good on you, though. Yeah. You had a certain...
Is that what got you?
It's in a weird bottle. Looks like
a cigar.
Stack of cigars.
That was Bill Clinton's favorite.
Louis XIII should just have his own cologne called OG Louis.
Formerly known as 202.
The cologne is not what got me. I don't even know how often you wore it.
No.
How many episodes?
I'm just curious. So what got you? What was it? So how did this go?
I thought he was cute. Yeah. And he was funny.
All right, there you go.
I came out of the scene from Mean Street. Looking
well,
like
you look a little like Richard Romanus.
Richard Romanus.
And Robert Romanus, who I've always liked.
Mr. Romanus.
What's up, fool? You guys shot 10 episodes?
We shot 10 episodes, yeah.
10 episodes. That's what Netflix gives you now? FX, everybody gives you 10
season, right?
It depends, bro. I don't know, man. I don't know what they're
doing, huh?
How they calculate things, man. They got their own way of doing
it. I want to know how they make money, though.
That other show, Shrill, because of subscriptions.
Subscriptions?
All over the world.
Bro, they got money to burn, bro. They're printing money right now.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
bro. And it was crazy. It's like they don't really, I mean, I don't know. I guess they don't really rely on ratings or anything like
that.
They don't even want to tell people that.
Yeah,
they wouldn't tell Kevin Spacey what the ratings were for House of Cards.
It's like a super top secret thing. We're like, we don't even know how we're doing. You know, I mean, I don't know. I kind of gauge it on like social media.
Yeah,
you know, we're getting
that's
a great
the only
response.
Way you can gauge
it's,
it.
It's great response. Social media people are loving it. They watch all 10. They want more.
They want more right away, and you feel a pressure.
You better
like,
calm down.
We got to come up with something now. When's the next?
Well, don't watch them in a row. Watch them one a week. How about that?
Right. It's hard.
The thing when Netflix can binge all that shit.
Right? I love that. Right? I love that I have a choice of. I can watch it a week. I can watch the whole thing. And
do you binge anything?
I do. Yeah.
What's your favorite thing that you binged, or you're binging now?
Well, the last thing, you know, besides Mr. Iglesias, I binged the When They See Us, which was
oh okay
yeah. oh yeah oh the yeah, miniseries yeah.
So we binged that. I don't, you know, I got kids, man, so like. So it's hard to watch
Black Mirror.
I don't watch Black Mirror.
Bro, you watch
the first four seasons.
Oh
man.
My god.
Yeah. Like I tried watching a few things, but the kids walk in and, you know, and I got to pause it and I got to stop and then, you know, and then it's hard to ever come back from that. Like,
maybe they should be super torta, bro.
Super torta. I'm trying to think what the last thing
Stranger
we did was. I haven't seen the last season yet. No.
Yeah, we're at, I'm at 5 with my son, and he was out of town. We binged a few, we're still at 2 with him.
Well, see, I kind of forgot what happened season 2.
I feel like
I got rushed.
The kids are like 20 now.
Right, and so now I'm like, I don't want to watch season 3 because I don't remember what happened in season 2. So yeah. I feel like I got to go back to season 2 to watch.
Watch like the last
3.
Couple episodes.
Yeah.
What was it like, man, when you were shooting maybe that local in Echo Park? Because that neighborhood was dangerous back
then,
bro.
Bro, yeah,
it was
man.
A dangerous neighborhood yeah, back then.
That was, man. Bro, I remember cruising with some of the homeboys just to do research, you know, because Allison's like, hey, why don't you hang out with these guys? and we were cruising, bro, and all of a sudden, man, we got hit up by some dudes in the car next to us, bro, and the dude pulled a gun out like that, bro. And all of a sudden, he was like, oh, shit, and we had to take off. And I was like, oh, that's the end of my research. I think I'll just wing it, bro. You know what I'm going to try? I'm going to try acting.
Oh, it's real.
People said wing it.
I'm going to act.
But, hey, so some of those actresses in that movie were not actresses, huh?
No, bro.
They were actually from Echo Park, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, bro. But it's crazy. Like now, you know, now they're all, you know, they're all growing up. They have families, you know. Like some are entrepreneurs, man. They're you know, they have their own businesses, or you know, they're doing their own thing. So they moved away from that life.
The two actresses that were in the main role with you, were they actresses already?
Yeah, yeah. Sadie Lopez and Angel Avila were Mousy and Sad Girl.
I follow them on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. So Angel's now, you know, like a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. she has a big following, and she's all about, like, you know, empowering women. Which
I'm trying
is
to get
great,
her
man.
On the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, and but it's amazing the demand for this movie. Like they'll have screenings for this movie like all over the country, because you know I get invited to come out and you know be a part of it and meet the you know the public when we have these events, bro. So it's great that these films still.
I
like,
love that.
Well,
I remember doing a joke about it on stand up, bro.
Oh, you do?
I don't know about what about? Stage goes. Just saw me be the loca, bro. That movie should be called Pocahontas. Eh? Because that's nah, just fucking the hyenas, eh?
Yeah, bro. He's banging everybody.
I didn't like the way they shot your ass, bro. I wanted you to get through the whole fucking movie,
right.
Bro. Fucking get shot by a hipster. Want to buy coke?
Right. It's funny. You know who that hipster was that I'm selling coke to with what's that actor? Jason Lee.
Jason Lee.
Yeah, so it's Jason Lee. Jason Lee was an extra.
My name is Ernold.
In the movie. Yeah, bro. Yeah. So he went from buying coke from me in Villa Loca to like talking to chipmunks.
Yeah, that was before Mallrats.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Still skating back then.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, bro.
He's in that hash pipe.
Where'd you guys shoot me my familia? My family.
We shot it in L.A. Like somewhere in like, I don't remember, bro. It was.
Presidente.
Because we shot, then we shot like. Somewhere in Santa Clarita, I think, because we, you know, it was supposed to look like old Mexico. And then we actually shot in Mexico. We went, Jennifer and I went to Michoacan. We went to Morelia and we shot in this little town called Okumichu. That's the beginning of the movie when we, you know, when she like gets caught in the river and
mm-hmm. yeah.
and loses a baby in the river and all that. So we shot that in Mexico. Yeah, I had a bad bout of diarrhea, bro, the whole time I was shooting there.
Damn, bro.
Really
bad. You really got into the character.
It was bad. Well, bro, we landed in Morelia, and they go, oh, you know, I just landed. They go, try, this is the best mole in the world, so try the mole. Bro, that was the worst. That was the worst decision ever, bro.
Rodrigo, speaking of the best mole in the world, I was watching this documentary on Tacos al Pastor, uh-huh. and they mentioned this taco place in Mexico City, bro. I don't know if you went there.
Yeah.
It's called El Güero.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Tacos.
Little tacos, are they good? Are they really that good?
Yeah,
they say they've been around for 46 years.
Really?
Bro.
What are they, mole?
Al Pastor.
Al Pastor, okay.
Supposedly where it comes from is Mexico.
I didn't know that, you know, like, I thought, like, okay, say you go here to buy Tacos Al Pastor, right, whatever, right, at King Taco.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that everybody, there's a basic way to make Al Pastor, but then people add their own little twist.
Right.
They might add sugar or whatever.
To the mix.
See, I always thought Al Pastor was
pork, right?
When you have it on that big, on that big stick, and you carve it. But a lot of people don't make it like that. I guess there's different ways of
some people just make it and grill the meat like that and chop it up.
Yeah,
bro.
I've seen that one, bro.
Because my mom makes it in like one of those like crock pots.
Yeah, which is basically just adobada, right?
Right.
Adobada.
That's all it is.
Too, man.
Another one, just that little constant swirl.
What were your favorite taco place growing up?
Bro, I mean, in the hood, we used to have. Just these little tacos, but nothing really major, bro. Like, but my mom always made good tacos, man. So So, so she makes that great like tacos de lengua.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh,
so so those were one of my favorite that my mom makes.
My mom used to make those, but I never liked that shit, bro. Because I used to always like, we used to go with her to buy it and see that long ass tongue.
Yeah.
And I remember watching all the goosebumps on it.
Right. Yeah, bro.
Will you take that part off?
Yeah, well, see, well, my mom changed it up. In the beginning, she used to just put the whole damn thing in, bro. So you get.
I've had that before.
Yeah, you get all the texture and you're like, oh, damn. But now, bro, she cleans,
peel that she, shit. She, cleans, yeah.
She modernized it a little bit.
And then you can do it a little too much where you like you steam it too much and it's too like
gaming? Too soggy.
It's
and,
too soggy, yeah. dog. It right. has to be made right.
Yeah, it'd be like the perfect texture.
You know, you cannot have a lengua burrito, though. It has to be a taco, man.
I trip out when people...
Bro, a lengua burrito is dope.
I trip out on people.
I like a lengua burrito.
When I was on Salinas, I went to go buy a soda and there was a guy there ordering a lengua burrito. He goes, chile must sour cream, not gross.
They get too wet, though.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, you mean like when you add rice and beans on it? No. You gotta
be plain, right?
Yeah, you just gotta be plain, but in like
with salsa.
In like a burrito.
Salsa verde and
tortilla, yeah.
Well, that fool had it with lettuce. He had it with...
Yeah, no.
Rice, beans, lechuga, tomato, and sour cream.
Yeah. Put some fries in it, though.
Yeah, no, bro. We gotta keep it real.
How dare you? What's up, fool? This next week... July 26th, I'm coming to Sa Juarita Desert Diamond Casino, Tucson, Arizona. Pasadena, July 28th, I'm doing an all-Spanish show. Ese show va a estar todo en español, eh? Si vas para oír en inglés, te vas a perder mucha feria. San Diego, July 29th, all-Spanish show at the Comedy Palace. That's right, the original Greek Palace. I'll be there doing a Spanish show. Also, Sylmar, July 30th, I'm going to do the Spanish show.
Spanish,
okay. And Casa Torres.
Oh, Casa Torres, yeah.
World famous flour tortillas. That shit's good. Mm-hmm. Eh? You could ask for butter to give it to you.
Doesn't have a lot of quesadillas, too, though, right?
Yeah. Killing Texas.
And
you're
practicing
killing
his Spanish shows.
So. August 1st through the 3rd, Twice as Funny Comedy Club. Go tell twice of your people. Killeen, Texas. I think they passed out one flyer, man.
Tell
everybody who.
Killeen.
Everybody in Fort Hood.
Yeah,
to show
tell
up.
Fort Hood. All you people who
Where
know people Killeen, at Fort Hood.
It's an hour
it's
away
right
from
next to
Austin.
Yeah.
An hour away, okay.
And it's like 30 minutes away from where they had the shooting at Wilco.
Waco.
Okay.
Near Waco.
Okay.
Naples, Florida, August 9th through 11th. Man, this guy passed out flyers. Everywhere where nobody wants to go see me. August 9th through 11th, Off the Hook Comedy Club. Captain Brian, man. This guy is the only guy I know that wants people to call him Captain Brian.
He's like the maestro in Seinfeld. He wants to be called Captain Brian.
This fool started his business. He bought one boat, took people fishing, and then bought a restaurant with that money. Also, August, I'm coming to San Jose, McAllen, Texas, Lubbock, Philadelphia. I'm coming to Helium's. All dates. And tickets at FelipeWorld.com/tour. Rodrigo has a hot show coming up.
Yeah, if you guys, for those of you guys listening live, tomorrow, Thursday, at the Lincoln House Comedy Club in Covina with Paul Antonio and them. August 13th, Viva Los Jokes in Spanish in Riverside. Life
with
Arts
Felipe
Center.
Again.
Yeah,
also,
man.
Yeah.
Bro, how
Johnny Rucker will be jogging through Echo Park and Dodger Stadium
during push-ups.
Doing August 5th through 11th. Mr. Iglesias,
how's the Spanish going? Like, how's the Spanish... shows like do you think like the jokes translate
yeah they
well,
do
in,
they
in
do
Spanish that,
they
yeah.
do here so far because most of the people here who are American Mexicans they understand it, man.
What we're noticing though because he's doing
their parents
they're bringing their parents they're fans of his who also speak Spanish but they're bringing their parents and being like this is my favorite comedian and so they're
that's
able
cool.
to bridge that connection
We were in Long Beach, and it was like you could tell that this guy never goes out with mom and dad. They go out, it's just barbecue, family's house. Mm-hmm. So this fool, like, he could tell he was super happy with it with his wife, his sister was there, his mom, his old ass dad. And then when they were talking, they were taking photos and talking. He went to go 7-Eleven and bought a 12-pack.
Dad did. He didn't want the night to end.
He didn't want the night to end. They wanted to go home and talk about it.
This
you know?
Was a Tuesday night.
A Tuesday fucking night, bro.
Oh, wow.
There were like 200 people there. It was
That's
funny.
Cool. Bro,
it
the fucking Cholo were crazy that night, bro.
Welcome to LBC. Yeah.
It was cool.
That's cool, though. So you're bridging generational gaps, bro.
Yeah. And it's... But this is probably
this
like
is people that wouldn't go watch a Mexican comedian from Mexico. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. It's a difference.
So it's like a new thing for them here.
Right. Yeah, I think it's great, bro.
They loved it, bro.
It's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to do...
Anoche conocí una muchacha, dijo, duerme contigo, pero no somos el sexo. Dijo, okay, mañana hagamos almuerzo, tú no comes. Hey, what's up? Do you speak Spanish too, though?
Yeah, well, my first language was Spanish, bro.
Bro, when they
kill... I understand it a lot more now. Like I speak it, bro, but it's very pocho. You know, so like, so people look at me like,
bro, you gotta,
I'll say shit wrong, like.
Do what me and Gabriel do, bro. Every time you don't know, we just laugh. Bro.
Just laugh, just laugh and smile, bro.
Así es. Yeah,
yeah. Así es.
But yeah, yours was more pocho when you started doing this because he's doing a Spanish and an English special for Netflix in the fall, but. The Spanish one, when he got started, his Spanish was more rough. It was saying wrong words and
Bro, like whenever I do like red carpets, and then you know they go, you know, you're doing the red carpet, and all of a sudden, hola, suelta el mundo aquí, and I'm like, oh, I was gonna start sweating, you know, and you're like, oh, dude, I'm gonna mess it up, man.
Have you done platanito yet?
You talk fast, bro. You talk fucking fast, dude.
But then all of a sudden, man, like you can tell that they you know start looking at you and. And then they kind of, you know, they give you that, like, oh, this
disappointment.
Sucks, bro. Disappointed, bro. And then they're like, and then they kind of nod and they go, okay, gracias.
Damn, bro.
But then, now you know you just blew it.
Ingles con papeles.
Right?
When they killed you in traffic, bro, it was sad. You know what it felt like?
Glad I had that effect
on me. It felt like watching that homie die in Godfather, bro, when he was begging for another chance. Hey, Michael, can you take me out for old time's sake?
All right. Yeah, bro.
That's the one why I felt, because you felt like, you know, because I see he was your friend, you know, in the movie. But the way you looked at him, bro, you gave him a look like only an actor can do it. You know, like.
I messed up,
I
bro.
Messed up. We could go back.
Right.
But then he gave you a look like you can't go back.
Right, yeah. Yeah, bro. And my boy Emilio Rivera took me out.
Yeah, man. Too, bro, then how would they like to work with Benicio del Toro?
Amazing, man. Dude, as an actor, bro, he's an actor's actor, man. Like,
for reals?
Yeah, bro. I just love watching.
Like De Niro and shit?
Just watching his process, bro. Yeah, man.
He gets into it.
He gets into it, bro. But also, like what I loved about him is that you never knew what you were going to get. Like, he didn't give you the same thing twice. You know, like, everything was different. And, bro, what I learned a valuable lesson, bro, with him was, because, you know, when you're starting out, bro, you want lines. You want as many lines as you can get.
Not me.
Originally, bro, there's a ton of stuff. All is written like him, and he's like, dude, I don't want to say that. I shouldn't say that. He's like, you know, you can give it to Jacob. Give that, give that away.
Oh, he gave you some of his lines?
Yeah. quite a bit. But I learned, because he's like, look, he's like, film is a visual medium, so you don't, why say it when you can show it, you know? So something you can just, you know, say it with a look, you know, with the least amount of lines possible, and that's and that's what was going to be more effective instead of someone just like, you know, talking. So now, bro, like I try to look at a role and see like how can I convey, you know, this without having to say so much.
Yeah,
you know,
like that scene when you guys see Cheech all beat up with Salma Hayek, and. I think it's
Cheech.
Is it Cheech? Somebody has plastic surgery. It looks like Cheech, bro. It's not Cheech.
It could have been just Cheech.
It's not Cheech. Nah. Bro, okay.
In traffic?
Yeah, because there's a guy with plastic surgery.
Yeah, there was.
That's going on.
My bad, eh?
So maybe.
I thought it was something higher than Cheech.
If it was Cheech, I'd feel bad, bro. Like,
what the fuck, okay? But the way your character was, like, your character was like, too excited to know who that was.
Right.
And right away, I knew right away this fool's gonna die.
Right.
You know, man, he's too excited, bro. He's not coming collect. That's a major cartel. This fool just said out loud who he is. He don't want nobody to know who he is.
Yeah, bro, he's an opportunist, bro.
He was
trying to make
it. You'll throw that fool under the bus if you have to.
You know, bro, and there were scenes that we didn't shoot in the movie, bro, that I really liked for my character, bro. One was like they go to the U.S. side. And they go to like a Costco, and they're looking at all like, you know, because the wife's complaining like, oh, our fridge is broken, this and that. And they're at like a Costco, and they see like, bro, like rows and rows of like food and, you know, and like appliances, and knowing like, dude, I can't afford, you know, any of this, man, even though I'm like I'm a cop, you know. So like, so I think that really showed like, you know, that he's...
How easily corruptible someone could be, too, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Desperation, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you guys are just, you know, trying to make a living. Bro, and you don't, you know, these cops don't make... Don't make shit over there, bro. So that's why the mordidas, you know, that's like, you know, part of their income. Because, you know, they got to make
expected.
It work.
Expected. Those bribes are expected on the street.
I like how scandalous your part was, that even though after you're dead... You should ask for a favor, Ray. Tell my wife that I'm the boy.
Don't tell her the truth, dog.
Right? Right?
And she knew you was lying, eh? Este pinche right. carajo mentiroso. Hell yeah, man. You were a great interview, bro. You're good.
Hey, thank you, bro.
It was fun having you, man. Good to have you back.
Oh, is it over? Is that how you guys just...
No, it looked like 1:30.
Bro, because the last guy left, he looked like
still
hurt.
Wanted to stay,
he was like, what, that's it?
I gotta go?
No, he had to go back to work. He's a self-published author.
To read the torta, eh?
The torta.
He read a kid's book.
Super torta.
How old are your kids?
Well...
Your youngest kid.
My daughter will be 15 and 8.
Don't you have another one older?
No, bro.
I think an 8-year-old.
No. The oldest is 15. I mean, she'll be 15 in September 11th.
An 8-year-old might like this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can I take
you
this?
Can have it. He wrote it. It's an L.A. sort of Mexican-American sort of little,
We go to like 1:30, right? Most of the time.
That's cool.
Yeah, usually. But we're about...
People go watch Mr. Iglesias show on Netflix.
On Netflix now. So watch, you can watch all 10 episodes now. And, you know, let me know what you think. Hit me up.
Also, Jesus Trejo is in it. And
Oh,
boy, name.
Oh, Jesus and what?
Chris Garcia.
Also, Sharon Shepard.
We got Sharon Shepard. We got Oscar Nunez.
They got the guy. Oscar.
Ossie Davis.
You can forget about the Creedence.
Richard Gant,
yeah, him.
At first, I thought it was Ossie Davis.
Maggie Gyllenhaal's on that.
Richard Gant from Big Lebowski.
He was in Big Lebowski.
He was a cop.
I think he was like Don King. Wasn't he Don King in the Rocky movies?
I think so.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? The coach? What's his name?
Oh, that's Chris McDonald.
Chris McDonald.
Yeah, he's great. So it's Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin.
Happy
Gilmore.
From Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, he's hilarious.
Golden jacket.
But I got to tell you, it has been the most fun working on this. On the show, man, it's got a great cast, and the young cast is great as well, man. They're really funny.
Cheryl Shepard is cool, man.
Sherry Shepard.
When I auditioned for the Comedy Store, it's very political back then. Like, Mitzi has to watch you.
Okay.
But usually, like, if you're a comic that nobody likes, say you were auditioning and I don't like your ass, bro, I will find a way to sit next to Mitzi to block her from watching you.
Uh-huh.
I start talking to you. But everybody does it. They don't mean to do it, but that's the only way they can talk to her, so they start yapping at
her. They never get to see her.
They never get to see her.
Well, now she
okay.
So now that she's here to see comedians, she doesn't want to talk to comedians, complains, you know.
Right.
Mitzi, can I get another chance?
Yeah.
So Sherry Shepard sat next to her, and the late Marilyn Martinez sat next to her. To block these motherfuckers.
Oh, really?
So she could focus on Felipe. Her,
so hell yeah, they're very nice of them, man.
And that's when you got passed.
Yeah, so that's two women watching. But there were Mitzi blocking for me.
You know, bro, Sherry is, I love her, bro. She's such a giving person, man.
Yeah, man.
And she cares about, you know, she cares about the comedians, bro. She really does.
One time we were talking, and we were talking about money, and out of nowhere, she offered some money. I go, you need help, Felipe? I said, I'm good.
Wow.
I'm probably going to spend on drugs.
But she blew up before you guys did, and she still came back to the club at
Yeah, she
at
still
that
come
time.
Back.
Yeah.
Do so karaoke.
No, she's fun, man. She takes over, like she plans all of it. When we say, hey, we should get together, she's like, okay, I'm on it. And she'll send a group text. She's
that's
a
woman.
Hey, we got a group gift going on. Let's get everybody. She handles
the
it.
Planner.
She is the planner, bro.
Shout out to Johnny Roker right here falling asleep.
Trying to stick in. Sherry Shepard. Yeah, her. She's good.
What's up, fool? Where do people find you on social media?
Bro, you know, I'm on Instagram, bro. Just Jacob Vargas, man. I'm verified, so make sure he's got the blue check mark. I'm on Twitter. I'm the Jacob Vargas. And you can hit me on Facebook, bro, but I'm rarely on Facebook. I kind of...
People are leaving Facebook these days.
Yeah, are they? Is that what's happening?
Leaving it to their uncles and aunts and grandparents.
Yeah, dude, my parents are all about Facebook right now.
It's the older crowd.
Like, oh, no, my face.
Yeah.
My brother's ex-old lady, what's her name? Whatever, baby mama. Dude, her mom has a Facebook, right? And she split cello. She split her toenail and put a photo of it, bro.
Oh, wow.
What an atrocity. Oh,
that's the
they didn't ban her from Facebook?
Me chingué el dedo. And then Sam won her. She won her period, bro. She posted a video of her bloody pants, bro.
What?
She was in thought you had a dick.
She was in her car. And I guess, bro, she was in her car on the way somewhere and wearing white pants. And then she started her pivot right there. And
that sucks.
And she started putting it on her.
Oh my God.
Oh, like Facebook Live?
Yeah.
Get a Facebook man, Live. Girl.
Alex DeLarge sent it to me, right? Huh. And then, like, but then I started reading it. You know, I read everything, bro. And then somebody wrote, you did this last week. I think you're a cochina now. This happened to you last month.
Last week, okay. Oh, I was saying last week.
Social media don't fuck around, man.
Yeah. Twice a month?
Twice a month.
The funniest some people keep tabs on you and stuff.
The funniest comments I ever heard, man.
I know, man. The internet always wins.
I do this girl on social media on...
They always do.
On WorldStar.
WorldStar.
And she had like this booty, bro.
She had a fake implants on her butt. Yeah.
You saw that one?
It was weird.
She disabled her comments because they were going brutal, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But on WorldStar, it was hilarious, man.
What, they were making comments on how fake it was?
Yeah, somebody said, some guy said, somebody said, girl looked like a wisdom tooth. It was this big butt on the side, but it looked weird. She had brutal, she had a weird
people,
thong bathing
people are
suit.
Brutal, man.
She gave me a hard on. What's up, Jacob Vargas in the house, people.
What else? What anything coming out soon that you want to tell people
check
about that
IMDb.
You're working on?
Yeah, check my IMDb. What I got coming out? You can check out, I got a movie called The Public that's out on DVD right now. It's like with Emilio Estevez. It's a great film with a great cast. You know, a great social message about homelessness should be out. It's out now. It just came out on DVD last week. So you can check that out. Cool. Other than that, I'm just kind of, you know, hanging out,
yeah,
you know, being a dad, just, you know, spending time with my kids.
What's up, Fool Podcast? Thank you for listening, everybody.
Peace.
Yeah, man.
Peace. All right.